Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this December 7th, 2022. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We are joined today by our good friends in the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Chief Deputy Quentin Ellis with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, James.
Oh, you're on that one. That's right. All right. Got to change it up a little bit here. There we go. Yeah, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, good to have you here, Quentin. Also want to say a big thank you to Taylor and our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Thanks for being here, guys. Encourage everybody to go into your YouTube search page, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, and keep up to date on all the great work that they're doing over there. Speaking of great work, how is things going over at the Sheriff's Department?
Well, I appreciate your lead-in with that. We'd like to think we're doing a good job. We certainly strive for that. First, I'd want to address why I'm in the room and not Sheriff Becker. He loves doing the show with you. Usually, we sit down and get prepped for it, and he tries to find some vintage White Sox player or something to maybe butter you up a little bit.
Yeah, does a good job of it.
But he couldn't make it today. He's on the road to catch a flight out to Quantico, Virginia. We have one of our patrol lieutenants, Lieutenant Nathan Dean, is graduating from the FBI National Academy. So Sean's going to go out there to celebrate that accomplishment with him. It's a testament to our team's approach to building leadership at the department, investing in our staff and our leaders to be better at what we do. Nate Dean will do a great job bringing that knowledge back. It's 13-week, crazy tough course.
Can't imagine.
That he'll bring back a bunch of leadership and skills and styles and approaches to our department. We complement that by sending staff locally to Command College, which is a Wisconsin Certified Public Manager course through UW-Madison. We've had two graduates of that since our team has taken office, if you will. Mm-hmm. We have a third, Captain Charlie Hoogesteiger is attending that right now. That's a six-week course. Takes a place throughout a year. The FBI National Academy is 13 weeks, so certainly a commitment. And I think that just goes to show our team's approach to developing leadership and bringing that back to our department. We haven't had somebody attend the FBI National Academy since Sheriff Hoyer did it almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
And before he retired, Lieutenant David Loudy did it. So something not brand new to the department, but certainly we're excited to be a part of and back in the swing on things.
Yeah.
We can only get better from advanced training and bringing those skills back to us. So
I think we hear about this with other fields a lot of the time, where you go back to school to relearn the newest techniques or something. But we don't think about it with our law enforcement very often. But law enforcement is one of those fields that does this quite a bit, actually, from what I understand.
Yes. And since our team has taken over or taken office, we've really, really tried to invest in that. We've sent lieutenants to leadership training down in Georgia as well. And it's really paid dividends because our staff comes back with new ideas, the ways other agencies are doing it, what's worked, what hasn't. And then when we run into kind of a head scratcher or something that's new to us, we have all these contacts throughout the nation to reach out to. That's paid dividends so far. Recently, we reached out on a courthouse security change concern and procedure, and our Lieutenant Brian Peterson had attended that FLETC training down in Georgia, reached out, had answers from Arizona, New York, Louisiana, all over the nation about how they do these things. So certainly an investment that we see very needed and paying dividends in how we run.
Knowledge is meant to be shared, and when we share knowledge, we're all better for it, no matter what the field is. Sheriff Becker and I have talked about this before too. But kind of the old way of doing things is not the way we do them anymore. It used to be you had a, not so much. I want to talk so much here locally. It's more of a national thing where our department's got to make the bust or that kind of thing. Whereas now it's more, hey, we just want to nail this guy person or get this person, brought to justice. It's more about sharing of information, like, hey, they're in your county, you can go ahead and get them or what have you. There's so much more of that. And it makes sense that it would expand to things like this, classes, knowledge, not just here in Wisconsin, but things that you can get from all over the country.
Absolutely. As you'll hear Sheriff Becker in almost any gathering or speech or talking event, speaking obligation he has is team. It's about team, not just our team at the Sheriff's Department, but we're part of a larger team with our community, with surrounding law enforcement. It's just like a sports team wanting to reach that championship. Yep. You can have one stellar player that won't get you there.
No.
We all need each other, and that's certainly that type of approach is something that we've been flourishing in. We have great community relationships. I'll bring up one in a bit here with a local resource that I know that will hit near and dear to you. But that's something that Sean has really instilled, and we're big believers in that team approach.
Have you yourself gotten a chance to do anything like this?
I graduated. I was our first department personnel to go to the Wisconsin Command
College. I may have
known
the answer, so I may have.
And that was by far the best training I've been to.
Really?
It was outstanding leadership, management training. A lot of lifelong friends from attending the course, valuable resources I can reach out to when I have questions on things. Really set me on a path to better myself with the resources to become better trained for, at the time I was our operations captain, really wanted to take over as chief deputy when Randy Dorhorst retired, and it set me up for that.
And I don't want to speak on something that I really don't know anything about, but just in talking to you guys on air, off air, being in the know of what's going on and with our departments, our officers, in the last, you know, couple decades, there's been more put on your shoulders. There's been more things asked of you that maybe when you were first taking the job wouldn't have been asked. And there's stuff that has been added on. So these classes, these different things, they can only help when it comes to so much of the job. Because even without those things, it's a job that it isn't... there's not always an A equals B equals C answer. I mean, there's a lot of gray area in what you guys do. The more knowledge you can have from these fields, the better you're capable you are to assess these things in the moment, I would imagine.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct in that. And it's, you know, sometimes there's monetary ramifications attached with these. That's a big part of my job as the chief deputy is to monitor the budget, but we are successful at finding trainings that either don't cost, are grant matched, or we really kind of vet them on the bang for your buck, return on investment. And when you're investing in our staff and our leadership, I believe it pays dividends for the department and the community we serve.
Congratulations to him and his family on graduation. That's really great. And you know, I think we can let the sheriff go on this one. Understandable. Understandable. I will not guilt him on this one.
He's very proud. Very proud of our department, very proud of our staff, and to be invited to attend this. I know he was humbled by it. He was kind of taken aback. So.
Yeah. And right, I'm really happy for him, for that whole team, everybody involved, all of you guys, because this is something everybody can take a little pride in, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Cool. Where'd you want to go next, Quinn?
So I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that today is Pearl Harbor Day, and just want to take a moment to honor and remember the like over 2,400 service members and civilians who died in the attack back in 1941. I personally am not a veteran. I didn't serve in the military, though we have a number of people who actively serve or have served as members of our department, past and present, and you know, just wanted to recognize that. That isn't lost on the Sheriff's Department, the sacrifices people made in our armed services.
If I may, just one more chance to plug this. The 40th Annual Pearl Harbor Day Remembrance. You can join the Southwood County Allied Veterans Council and the Fleet Reserve Association Branch 238 in remembering and honoring a day which will live in infamy. This is already kicked off about 10 o'clock over at the VFW Post 2534 over at Redden Road, 2711 Redden Road in Wisconsin Rapids. This ceremony is open to the public. They got food and drinks to follow, camaraderie. I encourage you to take in the ceremony. Say thank you to some veterans, and remember the day. Also encourage people to do some homework on this day if you haven't already. A lot of us been removed from school for a long time. Some of us don't want to mention how long. It might not be a bad idea to re-up on your history a little bit.
Absolutely. From there, if you're all right, I'd like to comment on the most recent trial we had on the homicide charges against John Sarver.
Right.
He was convicted after... homicide of Eleanor Roberts almost 38 years ago in the town of Saratoga. You talk about the teamwork approach, and that's how something like this gets done. This is how a case like this, after 38 years, gets brought to the courts, to the criminal justice system, and so that the family gets closure. We want to thank the Attorney General's office for their successful prosecution. They were obviously highly invested, did a tremendous job. Their entire team that came down and shared our office with us for a couple weeks, retired Sheriff's Department staff that took place in the initial investigations, retired Lieutenant David Lowdy, retired Lieutenant Bob Lewandowski, and retired Investigator Jay Shirota did a phenomenal job with this case as they had their hands on it. Bob Lewandowski was ahead of his time. You know, 38 years ago, he preserved things and thought of things that you know, made this successful prosecution happen. They didn't have the technology back then that we do nowadays, and I know that we'll talk about that later. It's similar with reference to similar cases. But yeah, really hats off to the Attorney General's office, all staff that worked on that, and we're grateful the family gets closure.
Yeah. Certainly the most important key part of this, that yes. closure for that family. I am really appreciative that we got names, though. Oftentimes with these stories, we hear a lot of work was done or cold case team or something. We don't have name specifics. I appreciate that, especially with some people that really paved the way for these things, the forethought that they had, understanding that maybe one day this stuff will be, you know, pay dividends. And sure enough, here we are. There's, again, one of those situations where there's so many layers to it. First and foremost, incredibly great for that family and for the officers that were a part of this case and that were hanging on to this one. It's a you know, on one side of it, one layer to this, we have come so far, and it is so amazing to think about how where our technology is nowadays. I don't know why people commit crimes. I don't know why anybody does anything wrong anymore. Why do you even jaywalk? Like, not only are there cameras everywhere, but they're like you can get caught in everything. It's just a matter of time before you get caught, whatever you do. Mm-hmm. We have more evidence of these things. But then you think about, and this one gets me. You think about these retired police officers, these people who there's not a whole lot of jobs where you retire, but you're still going back to work. You're still working a certain case. You're still working a certain thing. You don't see a lot of people that work in factories and come back and I just want to work a shift, you know, or something right. like that. You don't even, not even in this industry, do you see a lot of people in radio come back to want to do radio and everything. But this just speaks to that it's not just a job. This isn't just a job wearing that badge. This isn't just, this is a passion. This is something that, it's a calling that pulls out of you. And we have evidence of this all the time with these people, these detectives, these officers who will not let go of these cases, who continue to fight to find justice for these people. And there's so many out there that are unsolved. So many out there that, unfortunately, realistically, statistically, a lot of these officers, a lot of these families are going to go without having answers. Every time we get an answer, every time we get some closure, that's a win. It's not just a win for our judicial system or that family or even these officers. It's a win for right and wrong.
Right.
And I know that sounds corny. I know it does. I don't care. It's true. It's a fact. That's what we go on here. Life is all gray area, pretty much. But there are some things that are right and wrong. And our judicial system often is, that's when it comes in.
Yeah.
It's just impressive to think of on so many different layers. And I'm glad you brought up the other case, too. We'll touch on that as well. But just taking our time with this, that is really wonderful to hear for those the family, for those officers. It's really nice to have some names to go along with it as well.
Yeah, I tell you, James, if we had a position open for like department hype man or law enforcement hype man, you would be in. I appreciate it.
Let me know if you end up opening that up.
I'll
take that job.
It definitely is a calling. You hit the nail on the head. I'm closer with a lot of the people I work with than some extended family. When cases like this happen, they stick with you. They stick with you for your lifetime. My father was a Wood County deputy. I actually shared a car with him for a year before he retired.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was cool. Kind of interesting. Actually, we renumbered badges, and I actually got his badge number. So just an odd coincidence. Nothing was planned out that way. But when news of this hit, you know, he called me and thanked me. That's unusual. You know, I mean, we have a great dynamic, but father, son in the same field and then here and, hey, thank you. You know, can't thank you enough for us getting this done. And it wasn't us. I mean, it boils down to team. You know, the prosecutors, those retired deputies and officers, current staff that worked their tails off on this. It was an emotional day. Emotional when the verdict came in. And, you know, we're happy we could do our part to bring the Roberts family closure.
Another layer to this, Quentin, and I don't mean this as this is the first thing that in anybody's heads or anything like that, but I would think another thing that from an outsider looking in that I think of is, well, here's one more down. And that gives us a little more encouragement that we can get another cold case down. That every one that we get is another like incentive or another bit of encouragement. Where there is no encouragement, where it's a wasteland of encouragement when it comes to cold case files. Most of these are probably going to go unsolved, unfortunately. So every time there is a solved one, that's one more bit of like, okay, this can happen, this can be done. I don't know how long you go in between cold case files being solved, but a week is too long, let alone how long some of these might go. Again, any bit of encouragement we can give to our people in these fields, in these jobs, it's a win-win right there.
Absolutely. And from our department standard, we try our best not to let them reach that cold case. We always have investigators assigned. Yeah. We're always following up on leads. And without sounding too callous, this was a great victory. No doubt about that. But our department's motto is like next, so we're working the others that we have and working our tails off on those too.
Go ahead, man.
With that, you know, I think we could get into some discussion you had talked about. Technology in this case helped develop some evidence, which was a key part of the trial. There was recently a press release that our department did for the Carbon County Sheriff's Office out in Montana, and where human remains had finally been identified after years and years. Person had been located out there. Remains had been located in 2004. Now, 18 years later, they're through DNA profiles and development and technology, we're able to identify the person as someone who came from the Wisconsin Rapids area. And oddly enough, he shares my last name, though no relation. That's a testament to the increase in technology and officers and departments and whatnot not giving up. That doesn't solve that case, but certainly breathes life into it that we can start to follow up on.
You know, especially when with a case this old, any answers, while they may not be the solving of the case or what have you, is something. And the people that are still around, whether it's the officers still following through on the case or it's those families, it gives them a little something. Hopefully can give more, maybe even more clarity to this this story, but every little bit helps.
Well, absolutely. Once you pick up, you get an identity, you can start following up on who would have had contact around the time. Maybe people didn't know to come forward. Maybe they thought Mr. Ellis just disappeared, wanted to be left alone. It gives you a place to start. It gives you another starting point to maybe get that next little bit that moves on. And we have a similar case from July in our own backyard here on the Wisconsin River. We found human remains, skeletal remains in the river, resulted in a big drawdown of the river while we searched. We are working with the same labs that this agency used, best in the nation, to try and determine who that person is. We had originally thought it could be one of our missing people from years prior. It is found out it is not. We were able to exclude that through familial DNA. But now the next step will be on to more advanced labs that can hopefully produce a profile that has more markers or more points to identify who this person is. From there, we'll continue that investigation as well.
And not to turn this into CSI Rapids, anything, but when it comes, it's such a fascinating field to me. It's such an interesting part of the judicial system to figuring these things out. By being able to figure out that it wasn't one of our missing people without prying or asking too many close details or anything like that, are you guys able to do that by year that the body was taken or that you think was gone or went missing, or how is it that you're able to do that, and again, without trying to pry too much?
Sure, this was a DNA comparison.
Okay, that's what it was. That's what I kind of thought.
When they were able to use their CSI Texas lab stuff to determine a profile or part of a profile, we could send suspected matches or anticipated or potential matches from familial DNA down to them for comparison. They say, no, there aren't enough markers, aren't enough, like a fingerprint, but in DNA, there aren't enough similarities. This is not that person or not from that family. So that could exclude that person. And then what we hope to do is further that to another lab through the FBI to develop more of those markers that can be entered into a nationwide system to search against missing people, incarcerated people, any DNA samples that they have on file to help identify who this is and then forward our investigation.
You mentioned the other departments in other country, other states helping out with this. That's interesting too. You don't get that all the time.
No, it was an interesting call when you get a call from Montana and say, hey, do you know of this person and from this date and time? And actually, we had very little records-wise because they were so old, and statutes requiring what records are held and aren't were met. So anything really, the few contacts we had with Mr. Ellis, we don't have reports on, they were purged. That is interesting, coordinated an investigation with Montana. Mm-hmm. It's not unheard of when we have computer crime investigations. We've had contacts in other countries. And you would think that, like, when the Wood County Sheriff's Department calls up L.A. County Sheriff's Office in California, they're going to say, yeah, okay. It's, like you mentioned, it's a different relationship. When people need help, they drop what they're doing to help us out. So, we're used to reaching out and then vice versa. When they call us, we give them what we have to.
When it comes to those cases, especially the older cases and everything, there's not a whole lot we can do about those. Certainly encourage anybody, if you think you know something or think you saw something, we encourage you to share it always. But that's that kind of where I want to go to next with it. While we can't do a ton about some of those cases, we can certainly do something about today and tomorrow. And so when it comes to what to be aware of, or when it comes to these actions, when it comes to crime in general, there's not a lot of ways to, because it's unpredictable. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know when it's going to happen. So it's not like you could just sit there and wait for it, or, hey, this is how you handle it when it happens. These things happen organically, and they happen usually at the out of left field. Mm-hmm. So how you handle yourself in those situations can oftentimes help with solving these cases. When it comes to, I'm not talking obviously about the person committed to crimes or having a crime committed on them, but if you are a bystander, if you are a neighbor or somebody like that, we encourage you to keep your eyes open. They encourage you to say something, correct?
Absolutely, James. I'm younger, or I'm older than I would like to think I am, I guess, but I go back to the old school mentality of know your neighbors, know what's going on. So if something seems out of place, give us a call. We'd much rather come out and say, oh, no one was breaking into the Smith's house. It was their dog out back, knocked the garbage can over and activated the light. We'd much rather have that than someone go, oh, I saw something about a week ago. Oh, they got burglarized and they're out everything. Keep an eye out for your neighbors. Know what's normal for your neighborhood. Know what's normal for your business, for your friend circle. If something seems off with their well-being or you just seem concerned, give us a call. There's ways we can keep you anonymous and keep you out of it. There's Crime Stoppers using the P3 app for crime reporting. Whether it be you think there's illegal drugs being sold or dealt in an area, or you just think somebody's having a hard time or somebody seems suspicious, you're much better off to report it than to regret not, down the line.
And one last thing I wanted to mention, just in particular about this case with the other Ellis, no relation, but this gentleman who went missing, and we're still figuring out certain details of this, of course. But one thing that has stood out in the case to me is the idea that he ran from something, whatever. And we don't need to get into specifics of what he ran from or why he was running or anything like that. But it speaks to, like, the difference in era. Back then, you probably wouldn't run from something like this nowadays or anything.
Right.
But it does speak to something that I think we've all, you probably more than I have, certainly, the idea that you could run from crime or run from these things. Like, I can't think of many more silly, ridiculous things in this world than the idea that you can run from basically your name. Like, you especially in this day and age, like, this was in the 70s that he did this and was able to. But even then, it was pretty, like, it's pretty hard to escape. It's pretty hard to get away. It's pretty hard to go missing. You know, I mean, it's almost difficult to do when you're intending to own your life. You know, just own these things. It is only going to make things worse the more you push them off, the more you try not to do them or you try to avoid them. And certainly if you try to run from them, there are literal laws against that. Yeah. It's only going to add on to your sentence, to what you're, you know, whatever. Maybe you don't have a sentence. Maybe you just have a fine. But it could turn into a sentence if you try to run from it. Own these things. And it's only, I mean, the sooner you do that, the quicker you can get through it and maybe get to a better day.
Absolutely. And this, it was a misdemeanor drug charge. It wasn't like he was looking at life in prison or something like that. And again, with technology nowadays, even harder to do than back then. In the 70s, probably you could disappear. Now we get those calls, like we just spoke of minutes ago. If somebody hasn't heard from you in a couple of days and you're not answering your cell phone, they think something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, if things like these happen nowadays, I'm confident in the technology we have on our side as well that we get them solved very quickly. Technology's come a long way for us.
I forget what the case was. This was a couple of years back, maybe 3-4 years ago. There was somebody who went ran off because he was avoiding like child support, like 4 or 5 kids, which is one of the sickest things you can do. I'm sorry, that's just me talking, but it's such a cowardly thing. But they were trying to catch this guy. They caught him in Stockholm, England, because of a camera that he had just been walking around. He killed all of his social media. He wasn't using his cell phone, all these things. He thought he covered every base. Camera caught him. Now he's doing time. Like, I mean, he went out of the country and everything. I mean, you can't get away with these things. Just own this stuff. And especially because it's not just you, you're usually taking down. There's family members and other people that are involved in this too, that you could be affecting. Yep. We are speaking with our Wood County Sheriff's Department, and we have Chief Deputy Quentin Ellison with us today, along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, have some more conversation here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this December 7th, 2022, 10:34 on the clock. We are speaking with the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Chief Deputy Quentin Ellis with us today, and good to have you here, Quinn. Thanks a lot for being on the air with us.
Always fun to be in studio with you, James.
Big thank you to Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well for being here. Appreciate the gang. So, Quentin, where would you like to go next? I know that we were talking about a couple of things during the break there. Where would you like to start?
Well, I think it's important. We share a similar interest in a local organization that's an excellent community partner to the Sheriff's Department and the work we do, and that is the Family Center of Wisconsin Rapids. They hold a place near and dear to my heart. I served on the board a few years back. I know that you're a board member with them now, and we just got their winter mailing for fundraising, and I would encourage anybody that receives that mailing to do what you can this holiday season to help them out. The services they give to domestic violence victims and survivors and those victimized by sexual assault and other relationship issues and family issues is just second to none. I think, James, you hit it right on the head when you talked about Director Sue Sipple, who is just an amazing person. Yeah. You said she's a bona fide hero, and you're absolutely right. So I would just encourage anybody that either received that mailing or maybe if you didn't, seek out a way to donate some household goods. They can always use those as well as monetary donations to continue to provide the services that they do to people. They rely heavily on grant funds, and when COVID hit, I know they were hit hard. Their budget for lodging people was just blown out of the water, but these people, they are just, like you said, remarkable. They truly give of themselves to help others. I wanted to recognize a number of the board members that I know, James, you being one of them. Kim McGrath, our human resource director from the Wood County, is on there. Ron Rasmussen is a principal at Lincoln High School. Barry Johnson, owner of Hometown Pharmacy. Ran Thomas, I had the pleasure of serving on the board with her years ago. Chief Mel Peterson, Attorney Nick Abst, and Phil Hartley. All people I've had interactions with, all top-notch, high-caliber people that are helping to guide this operation there. And my hat's off to you. I thank you for that. And again, I would encourage anybody that can find some way to donate to this worthy cause. That goes into another proud moment we have from the Sheriff's Department. In October, the Family Center had their award ceremony. And to be recognized by these high-caliber people means a lot. And luckily, our Sheriff's Department was recognized as Law Enforcement Agency of the Year. And that was humbling. Sean, myself, Captain Ashbeck, Sergeant Brandon Christensen, and I forget his title in the jail. It's a really long one. He's a supervisor in the jail. It's like advanced lead warrant officer, advanced lead court officer. James Wunrow, we're in attendance to accept that award, and that was humbling. It's really, really an honor to receive that from them. It's really a testament to our team and our connection with the Family Center.
Very well said, Quinn. All of that, very well said and appreciated. And I appreciate you taking your time to talk about this, talk about them. First, that was earned. You guys earned that. I mentioned this before. I never thought about being on a board before. And not because I wouldn't want to, just because I didn't think anybody would want me. What do I have to offer? You know, what good am I? And if anything, especially with my, to be fair, my background, I thought that would exclude me from being able to be on a board or something like that, because I do have a criminal past. I've owned that on the air here before. My family's history and stuff. But if anything, sitting down and talking to Sue, that was part of the reason why she did think of me, why she did want me on there. And then, of course, there's the part of my chromosomes. I'm a man. Wait a minute, are you sure I can be beneficial? And that's where the real deep conversation with Sue and I first really began, and how important representation is. It's all well and good for people like Sue or just a woman in general who has come from abuse to talk about this subject. We're going to listen. They know what they're talking about. But it means so much more when people like you and I are jumping on this cause, are showing, hey, this is where we stand on this subject. We don't have to. We're guys. We don't have to worry about a lot of these things that women have to go through. Certainly men can experience abuse too, but we don't have to worry about it nearly or in the same way that a woman does. But when we stand on these causes, when we stand by them side by side, it means something. It stands for something. It shows that we are not going to go back to the way things were. This is all out in the open now. You notice every word Quentin said of this, he did not use in a hushed voice, talked open like this. This is where we are today, and we're not going backwards. We're only going to go forward with this subject. I talked earlier about life being a gray area, and it is. There are certain subjects, though, that are very black and white. You don't hurt children. You don't hurt people you love. Period. End of sentence. If you do, there is a cause and effect, and you deserve to have that cause and effect taken up. There is. So they don't do the Men in the Kitchen event anymore, but that was the first event that I was really at for the Family Center, and they asked me to MC it. And so I go there, and I didn't know what to expect. I'm used to doing radio remotes and things like that and everything, you know?
Sure.
I go there, and even though I did not know what to expect, I don't think I expected to see overwhelmingly so many men there, and not just men, but our current mayor at the time, our head of our police department, of course Sheriff Becker was there, Andy Francis when he was with the Rafters. We had representation after representation after representation all over the map, and I before I even start speaking, I'm tongue-tied, because I did not expect this. I'm used to supporting this cause. I've been doing it my whole life. I'm used to other people doing this. I did not expect to see this community stand by this cause the way it does. It is a different day, you know? And that really, I don't think that I could ever really ramble enough about it, even though I know I already probably have enough. It's such a noteworthy thing. I do want to, if you don't mind, piggyback off of what you were saying there to remind people that the Family Center is there for them. If you need them, they have a crisis line. It's available 24/7, 421-1511. That's 421-1511. Of course, if you are in crisis, 911 in case of emergency is something to keep in mind. And as Quentin said, if you have, well, dollars and cents are greatly appreciated. If you have, you know, you're going to the grocery store and you're buying toilet paper and you can afford to buy an extra roll and drop it off, things like that go a lot farther than we could really word. It's one less thing that Sue and the gang over there have to worry about, and they can focus on the task at hand.
Right.
And we encourage people to donate, to volunteer, to be a part of things at the Family Center any chance you can. You can find out more by going to familyctr.org. Also encourage you to follow them on social media. Their Facebook page, it's not just a way to keep up on things there. They put these uplifting things on your timeline all the time. It's a such a strange thing to have a positive on your timeline there, right, on Facebook or something. But it's nice. They do good work over there.
Absolutely do. So I'd be remiss if I didn't mention them. And again, not to, to keep on it, but anything you can do out there for them, please do so. Moving on, you know, to build on what I talked about, our department's commitment to leadership, I just wanted to bring up that on December 15th, we'll be hosting a group of teen leaders from various local high schools in cooperation with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, their teen leadership group. That's always a fun day. They get to come check out Wisconsin Rapids Police Department. They check out the courthouse, the sheriff's department. So these are future leaders in high school, and I really enjoy it. I have a son who's in high school. My daughter's a freshman in college, so I get to see a lot of faces I'm familiar with, tease them about, you know, getting information on my son. But it is great to see them learning about what we do, learning about government, learning about different areas to make them more rounded leaders. If they had something like that when I was in high school, I didn't know about it. It's great to see. Outside of that, over the past months, we also sent some staff that I'd like to recognize to advance CIT training.
Do you mind if, before we dive into that, Quinn, I just real fast, that leadership class that you're talking about, there's something there that I want to hit on, and it's kind of a bit of a cause for me right now. In the last couple of months since the election, I started having this in this position, started seeing something more and more clear. We talk all the time about being a good community and supporting our law enforcement and our EMTs and our firefighters and these things. And we talk a good game about it, but then you see the news, and the only stories you tend to see are you know, negative stories oftentimes. Sure, you'll see a good story, but it's usually like 20 minutes into the, you know, news or something like that, or you have to dig for it. And we see this over and over again, not just with our with those fields, but then we see it also with our politicians, and we see it with other fields. And I get thinking, like, well, who's going to want to do these jobs? Like, the young people that are growing up, that's all they're seeing. Mm-hmm. Every time they see a police officer, every time they see a politician, they're being dragged down. They're being negative. I'm not saying there shouldn't be accountability. Right. You do something wrong, there should be accountability for it. But it's not as if that's the only thing that's going on with those departments or with those fields. There's a lot of great people doing great work. I'm done expecting the news outlets to cover these stories. I'm putting on us as human beings, as us as citizens. These kind of things, like the leadership class, that kind of stuff is an example of this, is a chance for them to get to talk to you guys and see, oh, wait, not every police officer is this, this, and this. Like, okay, I can see this. And then maybe these kids want to do these jobs when they get older.
Yeah, absolutely. I ran into it just presented to the last group last year, and they're, you're Caleb's dad? Yep. Oh my goodness, can I get a picture with you? Yeah, you know, and then they get to kind of personalize or humanize the badge. You know, yes. It's not just the guy, oh, I got stopped and got a warning or a ticket. It's, you know, hey, that's so-and-so's dad. That's so-and-so's mom. You know, they're good people. Yeah. So certainly anything we can to stay involved with the youth, we do. We have an excellent relationship with our school districts throughout the county. Craig Broren, the superintendent of Rapids Public Schools, really good contact for both Sean and I. Mm-hmm. Personal friend of ours. we know each other well enough that we can give each other guff.
Yeah.
If he were sitting next to me, he'd probably say something smart about me. And
I could hear it right now. Yes.
Yeah. great guy. But again, we forge those relationships so that we can be in the schools and working together. Can't stress team enough, and I appreciate your sentiment about how cops are represented, or law enforcement in general. We're fortunate our community's behind us. We know that. We're with them. We're very fortunate to serve the public we do here in Wood County.
It's, again, one of those things that I think has been earned both ways. Community being understanding, being caring, and showing their effort and their cause, that they care. But also that we don't have a thousand stories of police misconduct and those kind of things around here. I think that goes both ways. Not to say that it needs to, but it's kind of that's the way organically has been built here in our community, in our area. And you're right. I think that is noteworthy. I think that we're fortunate for that.
Yeah, we are.
You were going somewhere, and I messed up your flow, and I apologize.
Oh, no, that's no problem. We've talked a lot about negative things, it seems like, so I just wanted to point out some other things our department's done over the last month. We'd sent some officers, including our mental health sergeant, Doug Christensen, who helped facilitate part of the training to advance crisis intervention team training. This one was specifically dealing with veterans issues. So that was the first class of its type that we're aware of in the area. And certainly looking to improve our staff's ability to de-escalate crisis situations and get people in contact with the resources they need. So that was a unique training. Almost our entire staff is crisis intervention trained. All of our sworn staff is. We're working on catching up with some of the civilian side. So that's something that we value, as well as developing an understanding of mental health issues.
It does feel like that's a big umbrella. Crisis intervention, mental health. Those are big umbrellas to a lot that's going to fall under those. It's great to hear that everybody's up to date, up on those things. I'm curious, you know, maybe sometime we get together, we have more time, we can talk about some of the stuff that you guys studied or went over when it comes to that. Because that's the new world, the mental health game and the mental health thing. And I don't think it's far-fetched to think that we don't have, not just our own departments, but officers, that's their main goal. Like from their first day on the training set to their last day on the field, that's their focus, is mental health. I think we're getting closer and closer to that being more of a common thing in all departments.
Yeah, we actually have a grant-funded position to do just that.
Right.
We were fortunate enough to get a legacy grant to implement that position for the first 2 years. It's been a huge success, and we've added that to our budget moving forward. So another success story.
Yes.
So that's excellent.
We have to take a really quick commercial break. We're going to do that, be gone for a minute, come right back, and we'll wrap things up with the Wood County Sheriff's Department here at Morning Magazine on WFHR. We're sitting here at Morning Magazine, going to take it right to the top of the hour with Chief Deputy Quentin Ellis as we sit back and talk about some Sheriff Department related things. And you were just getting into something before, Quentin. Did you mention the hiring yet? Did you want to talk about that?
Sure. Okay. Before we get into that, in case I run out of time, because I'm too long-winded, over the last
Between the two of us.
Yeah, not a lot of time left, right? Kelly Trzynski, our office manager, and Sergeant Joel Kina in the jail have celebrated their anniversaries of 15 years of service to the county.
Wow.
So, again, right along in our theme of team, we thank them for their service and contributions. 15 years is a long time, and especially in our field. So hats off to them. Additionally, Corrections Officer Elizabeth Link graduated from the Jail Academy after being hired with us, went through the Jail Academy and graduated there. We've also had two inmates over the last 2 months graduate with their HSED from our partnership with Mid-State Technical College in the jail. And our hats off to them for making a use of their time, taking the opportunity to better themselves while confined. So those are some high notes. Additionally, I'd like to recognize, though he'll be mad at me for doing this, Sheriff Becker. On Thanksgiving, he, along with one of our chaplains, who's a pastor at Crossroads Church in Pittsville, David Bratley, along with Sergeant Adam Berry and Mitch Jayeski, delivered Thanksgiving meals around the community. That's something they've done for years. Sean's not a look-at-me guy.
No.
So I'm risking a phone call later from him saying he doesn't enjoy the credit. I mean, he does, but doesn't look for it.
No.
He's certainly deserving of it. So I'll take that call from him later. But hats off to them for doing that.
If you didn't do it, I was going to. I got it in my notes here, so I was going to do it.
Yeah, I maybe should have led with that. And, on top of that, you know, I've been bragging about our team, and we're certainly proud of it. But we do have some openings. And so in 2023, we're looking to add 4 additional corrections officers in preparation for our new jail facility. We'll need to add staff once that's up and operational. We're looking to get ahead of that curve, get people trained so that transition's easier. So if anyone's interested in that, check out the Wood County website for that job posting. We're also looking to hire a secretary for our front office. Mitzi Ford is moving on to a position with the Clerk of Courts office after 5.5 years with us. So we thank her for her service and look forward to adding a new member to our team. Yeah. And we're in the process of adding chaplains to the department. We've expanded that program as part of a project that came out of Command College from graduate Lieutenant Calvin Dorhorst. We were able to do so with funding from the area, Marshfield Area Community Foundation. That will provide training, equipment, and the likes to those chaplains. And then we are in a process of an eligibility list for patrol deputies that's being headed up by our Civil Service Commission. Hats off to that commission. It's a great group of people. It's chaired by Mike Myers, retired Lieutenant Dave Lowdy, retired Lieutenant Bob Lewandowski, retired Lieutenant Lee Garrels. Are all on the commission, as I have to call him Mr. Mancuso because I went to high school when he was principal. Here. But Gus Mancuso is on the board too, so we're really in good hands with people, you know, setting up who's going to be hired next.
If he walked in here right now, I'd call him Principal Mancuso. Yes. Same here. Yeah.
He'll come in to see Sean as Mr. Mancuso.
Yeah, he looked down. Yeah.
I've been graduated for a number of years, but that's just the respect we have for a man like that. So that's kind of where we've been at. A few minutes left. Just want to thank you for having me. I from the Sheriff's Department, we want everybody to have a happy and safe holiday season.
Let's wrap on that, Quentin. You know, this time of year, there's certain things that we want people to keep in mind, keep out. And look, 90% of the people out there are Midwesterners. You know how to handle the roads, black ice, a lot of that stuff. But just a quick reminder about some of these things I thought would be a good idea, like the kit. The kit that we all have that, you know, with those last days of winter we put away in the basement or the garage, and then this is the time of year to bring it back up. Some of those kits have been around a while. Mm-hmm. So say you got a flashlight in there, you got a little radio or a blanket or any of these things. Would you suggest looking that stuff over maybe before you just throw it in the back seat?
Absolutely. Look that kit over. Make sure things are operational. Check your tires. Make sure that you have good tread and your vehicle is as best equipped for the road as it can be. And then on the other side of that, just give yourself more time. Plan a little extra time because right now we don't have any snow on the roads or anything, but this is Wisconsin. By the time I'm done with the interview, the weather could have changed, We have a bunch out there. So just take your time, get there safe, and over the holidays, you know, check in with people before you leave and after you get home so they know you made it safe. And just slow down. Give yourself the time.
The checking in is a really good note. I didn't think of that. That's a really good note to people, especially those, like, you know, this time of year where you got relatives coming from a couple hours away sometimes and that kind of thing. It's always a good idea to let people know that you landed, that you made it home and everything. And I'm not bringing this up because my mother and father are horrible at it and never call me and let me know that they made it to my brother or sister's okay. Sure. Mom. But yeah, no, that is a great thing to be able to do. That's a really nice point to bring up. I don't want to ask like what statistically you see the most of, but this time of year, what are some of the things that you guys do see a lot of that are preventable things as far as, you know, and not just accidents, but different things in the area, fires, any of these things?
You've hit on 2 big ones, crashes and fires. People are getting cold. Make sure your chimney's cleaned or however your heating source, make sure it's reliable. Electric heaters to heat up a bunch of places with 5 extension cords, not a good idea.
Yeah.
Make sure your furnaces are serviced, things like that to avoid carbon monoxide. The crashes we spoke to. But we will see an uptick, unfortunately, in mental health calls and domestic disturbances. People get together with the best of intentions and sometimes imbibe a bit too much, have too much to drink, and maybe some old issues come out.
Yeah.
And then we get calls on those. And mental health, you know, if you know somebody's struggling, check in on them. This can be a tough time of year for people going through a family change. Maybe they lost a loved one in the past, and this will be the first Christmas or holiday season without them, or maybe they're just lonely. So be that good neighbor, be that good friend, check out them. Check in on people like that, so that if they are down, we can get them connected with services or things before they're in a state of crisis.
Going back to something you touched on earlier that I thought was really noteworthy is knowing your neighbors. When we talk about that, it's not necessarily looking out your window and eavesdropping on them or something. It means going over there and saying hi. You know, get to know who that people are. You don't have to be able to write a family, like a newsletter about them or something like that. Just understanding your neighbors and knowing each other, being aware of each other. Sometimes that can go really far because of some of the things you were talking about earlier. But just as much this subject right here of mental health and knowing, hey, well, I know that he lives alone and he's an elderly gentleman and he probably can't do his driveway himself. If I see his driveway's full and nobody's coming over there to help out, maybe I can go help him out, or maybe I need to see if he's okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a reason he hasn't done it himself yet or something. It could be, hopefully it's nothing. And you're just knocking on the door saying hi to a neighbor. But it's I don't want to speak for others, but I think it is worth the uncomfortableness, maybe the awkward moment of like, hey, everything okay? If everything's okay. If it's not, that could be a game changer. That could be literally life-saving.
Absolutely. We actually just had this happen yesterday, maybe the day before. Somebody showed up at a house, elderly gentleman lived there. Boy, he didn't answer the door. I haven't heard from him in days. I'm concerned. They call us, as they should. Great. We were able to knock on some doors to the neighbors, and they're like, oh, that's Quentin. Yep, he's over here now. He hasn't been home for a few days or weeks or whatever. And so then it resulted just a few phone calls, and hey, life is good. We move on to the next. But very thankful that one of the neighbors, you know, were involved, so they knew what was up, and then the concerned party that called on them. We'd much rather have that, because when you get those calls, unfortunately, we start thinking the worst and planning for that. Just a testament to all the things we talked about working out.
Really, really cannot thank you guys enough for the time, both of you. Certainly thank you to our Wood County Sheriff's Department. Say hi to the team over there for us. You guys be safe and strong, and always appreciate the time. Good to talk to you, Quentin.
You too.
And a big thank you to Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. As always, always good to see you guys and appreciate the time. We will encourage people to like your and subscribe to your YouTube page. Keep up to date on all the great work that the Wisconsin Rapids Community Media is doing. We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.